begin, hey? Keep your Bibles open there. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the beautiful day that we have to come together to be reminded of your goodness, your grace towards us, to be reminded of your awesome power and amazing love towards us. Lord, we do pray that as we read through this passage, as we explore this passage and seek to apply its principles to our life, Lord, we pray that you would teach each one of us, that through your Holy Spirit we would be listening and that you would guide us in what to know and how to apply it to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love the way in which Jesus teaches. As someone who has a little bit of agricultural knowledge or a knowledge even of viticulture or growing grapevines, I love the way in which Jesus teaches. He uses illustrations which are related to these fields to teach some really timeless spiritual principles. So on the eve of his departure from earthly ministry, Jesus reminds his disciples to remain in the vine or to abide in the vine, that he is the true vine and they are the branches. We've been working our way through John, many of you will know, and over the last couple of weeks we've looked at John 14, how Jesus has foretold his promised departure from the earth, or that he would be crucified, raised up, and that it was all part of God's perfect plan. But he gave them an even greater promise that he would return, but also leave his spirit in order that he would be the helper for his followers. The Holy Spirit would teach them, give them courage, give them peace, and they would grow in holiness as they continue to obey. Well, this morning he extends the call for obedience from his followers and says that through remaining in the vine, him as the vine, we will continue to grow in holiness and obedience and therefore bear much fruit. Now, there's no exact location for where this teaching took place. We can sort of assume that it was sometime in between the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane. And maybe Jesus and his disciples were walking along the road, and as they came along, they saw a grapevine. And Jesus used this teachable moment to give some timeless principles. His first words are, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Now, this is the last "I am" statement from John. And Jesus says, "I am the true vine." And for those of us who are not from first century Israel, this connection is lost on us. Whenever there was imagery used like this of a vine or a vine dresser, it was used in the Old Testament as a sense always referring to Israel. And that the people of God were to be a vine that God planted in Israel. Have a look with me. I'm sure I put it in there. Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9. It says, "You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land." And this is Isaiah chapter 5. And so Isaiah tells the people of Israel that they were a vineyard and that the Lord planted and tended and carefully cared for. The Lord waited for grapes, but instead of getting grapes, there were just thorns and weeds or wild grapes. But the clincher verse is verse 7. "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. He looked for justice but saw bloodshed, for righteousness but heard cries of distress." And so in the Old Testament, along with Ezekiel and Hosea This image of Israel being the vine or a vineyard was well known. It's a well-known scriptural image. Israel was supposed to be God's people, completely faithful to God, with God caring for them and tending to them, and for them to bear fruit, to bring the other nations in. But Israel wasn't faithful. Instead of just worshipping God, they went whoring after other gods, Baals, and the gods of the nations surrounding them. They didn't obey God faithfully, and they didn't bear fruit for him. And they took the punishment when God judged them in the time of the exile to Babylon. So Jesus is now correcting this, all of this statement, all of this wrongdoing from Israel, and he's saying that I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He's saying what Israel, the human nation of Israel, couldn't accomplish, I am now accomplishing. Israel was supposed to be the vine that God tended carefully for, and Israel was supposed to bear fruit, bringing other nations into the kingdom of God, but they couldn't do that. And so there was no other image that was steeped in so much history and that illustrated God's love for the nation of Israel, that is his love for his and love and care for his people. But there was also no other image that illustrated the call for obedience and holiness and faithfulness from the nation of Israel as well. Jesus was going to demonstrate his love and care for people through the cross just hours away, demonstrating that he was, again, the true vine and that he would do his utmost to the fullest to be faithful and obedient to his Father. In verse 13, it says that he would lay down his life for his friends. But the verses following verse 1, it talks about that God is the vine dresser, and every branch in me this is verse 2, that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. In this love and care that God was showing to his nation was also some difficult times, the pruning or the training. In order that a vine would bear fruit, the vine dresser would come along and prune it. Every year, just in terms of a grapevine, every year a grapevine is pruned back just to the vine, the main trunk of the vine. And then even throughout the growing season, the grapevine is again pruned in order that air and light and sunlight can get through to the root area. And then there's even further pruning and thinning when the vine starts to bloom and grow grapes, so that the fruit is the ultimate sweetness. And so God, as the vine dresser, tenderly cares for his people, prunes and trains us so that we might grow and bear fruit just like Jesus. So this brings me to my next point from verse 5. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now there's two things to remember from this section. This entire chapter is all about thriving as a believer. This entire chapter is entitled or addressed to his believing followers. It's not addressed to unbelievers, and it doesn't show how to become a follower of Jesus. It shows how to continue as a follower of Jesus, or how to thrive as a follower of Jesus. But the second thing to remember is that the fruit that Jesus speaks about here is evidence of unbelief. I'm sure those motorbikes time their rides so that they get the precise moment of my sermon. Second thing to remember is that the fruit is evidence of belief. Not the other way around, that belief is evidence of fruit. It's not speaking about how many disciples you make or how many people will be in heaven because of the words that you have said and done. It's speaking about fruit showing your belief in Jesus. Now, when you look at a fruit tree, how do you know what kind of tree it is? If it's in its deciduous phase, when it's lost all of its leaves, it's very hard to tell what kind of fruit tree it is. Those who are experts in fruit trees know these things, but many of us will find it difficult to tell an apple different from a pear and an orange. But if the tree hangs heavy with fruit, and particularly if it's very close to being ripe, it's easy to tell what kind of tree it is, isn't it? Sometimes you can't tell a lime from a lemon tree, but it's a citrus fruit. And fruit can be an indication of health as well. A strong and healthy branch can produce healthy fruit, but a sick branch cannot. If those branches or vines are not abiding in the true vine or in the trunk of the tree, they won't produce healthy fruit. Jesus was clearly speaking to his disciples about reminding them about abiding in him. Abiding in him in the only way that we can remain spiritually healthy and produce fruit. The focus is on the abiding and not on the bearing of fruit. The fruit is the result of the belief and the abiding, but not the other way around. Our fruit doesn't show how much or increase our belief. Our belief increases our fruit. And too often we get this the wrong way around. We try and think of, I've got to do more. I've got to produce more fruit in order to show how much I abide. Or I've got to produce more fruit as if it was my responsibility. We try and do this to show our gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. We try and produce fruit, and it's these measly, tiny little grapes that are not very sweet at all. We fail, we pick ourselves up, and we continue again in this cycle of misguided attention. Jesus was telling his disciples to abide in him, and the fruit will result. So focus on abiding rather than on the fruit. When I use props in a sermon, they generally come from my backyard. And we've got a tree in our backyard. The label on it is pretty much sunlight faded. And so I don't know exactly what it is, but it's a stone fruit of some kind. And I cut two branches off it this morning. Now, this branch is away from the tree. And do you think we could get it? There's no fruit on it. It's already starting to wither. Do you think we could get it to bear fruit? Like, try as hard as you might. We'll put it in some water and will it bear fruit? No, because it's away from the vine or the tree. When the fruit ripens, you'll be able to tell what it is, and I'll share some with you. But these fruit are not even ripe. They're still a little bit green. They've still got some filling out to do. Can we try and get them to fill out and ripen? put it in some water and it'll survive, but it won't ripen the fruit because the branch is away from the vine. The branch is away from the tree. So fruit is not our responsibility and should not be our focus. Our focus should be on abiding in Jesus instead of producing fruit. Let's continue looking through verse 6. Verse 6 says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." Now, there's a number of commentators that have had a long-standing debate about what this verse means, and they think that this means that those who don't abide in Jesus are those who have been unfaithful and lost their salvation. But Jesus has said in chapter 10 that his sheep know him and they cannot be snatched out of his hand. And so they cannot be saved and then unsaved. His sheep will continue to abide in him and they cannot be unsaved. There was others that think that this verse means about people that never really believed and so they amounted to nothing. But we've established that Jesus is speaking with his disciples, his genuine disciples, and reminding them that without abiding in him, they can do nothing. They are useless. Read again. Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." Jesus was using this analogy to show that apart from him, there is nothing that we can do that is of any spiritual value. He's calling his believers to abide in him, otherwise nothing you do is of spiritual value. John Piper says that if we're not united to the vine, nothing of any lasting value will ever come from us. Nothing. So without abiding in Jesus, without staying connected to the vine, anything that we try and do in our own spiritual strength or our own physical strength is useless. So we're told this morning to abide in Jesus. And you might think, what's ways in which I can abide in Jesus? Well, firstly, I believe that active abiding is the act of receiving and trusting all that God has for us in Christ Jesus. Now, if a branch remains or abides in the vine in such a way that it's receiving all that the branch has to give, then that's a picture of what Jesus is talking about by believing and trusting in Jesus. He says in John chapter 1, verse 12, "To all who did receive him, who stayed connected to the vine, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And so believing is receiving of Christ into the soul and welcoming him in, trusting him. Believing in it is an attachment to Christ and a receiving from Jesus. So belief results in the fruit of forgiveness. It's trusting in Jesus and remaining in fellowship with him, connecting to Jesus and remaining connected to Jesus. But believing also has a future tense to it as well, not just a current and past tense. Believing means that we continually trust Jesus for what he has done for us, future tense as well. We have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved into the future. And so the grace of God abiding in that is what we need to continue to do, to abide in Jesus. Abiding in Jesus means to trust all that Jesus has promised to his believers. And the place that we know about what God has promised for us is that it comes from his word. Jesus gets very specific about what is flowing between the vine and the branches. He mentions words, his words, in verses 7 and 9 and 11. Let's read them. Verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." And verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." And verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." And so secondly, we need to cherish the word in order to, or the words that we've heard from Jesus, in order to abide in Jesus. Now, again, we put our focus on, I have to read in order to show my abiding. But that's not the way we need to do it. Cherish the word, know it, learn it, hold it into a great authoritative position in your life, and that will produce more abiding. In chapter 1, John talks about Jesus as being the word that came to dwell amongst us. Thirdly, we need to live obediently in order to abide in Christ. Verse 10 says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." By living in obedience to Christ and keeping his commands, we will show our abiding, or we will abide. By following the obedient example of Jesus and living in keeping with his commands, we will abide in Jesus all the more. If we understand the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus, this will compel us to continue to live obedient lives. But the last thing that Jesus tells us to do is to abide in his love. Let me find that. I should have written that down. It was in verse 10. "If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And so we're told to abide in Christ's love. And verse 12 says, 12 and 13, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." So we're told not to just love God and love Jesus, but to love one another as well. Now, I want you to think of your greatest friend. Now, husbands, that is your spouse. Wives, that is your spouse. But it could be a single person, it could be a group of friends. I want you to think of your greatest friend, and I want you to think whether or not you would be willing to lay down your life for the sake of your friend or friends. If push came to shove, if heaven forbid someone came through this door this morning and threatened to shoot every one of us, would you put yourself in the line of fire for your friends? Or a similar situation as tragic and as terrible as that? Could you lay down your life for your friends? Now, Jesus, in these words here, he again is predicting his death, that he would lay down his life so that his disciples could live both now and into eternity. He was going to lay down his life for his friends. But get this. This is how much God loves us. Gets even better. If someone lays down their life for their friends shows great love, how much more does someone who lays down his life for his enemies show great love? Maybe Paul was thinking of these words that Jesus spoke about laying down his life for his friends when he wrote Romans chapter 5. And this is one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture. Romans 5, 6 to 10 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, or put in their friend. Though for a good person, put in there again, friend, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" Paul uses illustrative words such as powerless and weak and sinners and enemies. If Christ died for his enemies, if Christ died while we were still weak, if Christ died for sinners, how great is his love? That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. Abide in that. Abide in that love, both from us towards Jesus, but also from us towards one another as well. To love God in the same way as he has loved us, and to love one another in the same way as he has loved us. Jesus is the true vine, the one who perfectly obeyed God to the fullest. He is the vine and we are the branches, and we are to abide in him for obedience sake, for his righteousness sake. Because without him we can do nothing of even temporal value, let alone eternal value. Ways in which we need to abide in Jesus is to trust him for forgiveness and life now, but also trust him for forgiveness and life into eternity. We abide through cherishing his words and living obediently, but also being reminded daily of the love that Jesus has for us. The love that while we were still sinners, while we were his enemies, Christ died for us, and we were reconciled to God through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Abide in that. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for the way in which Jesus illustrates timeless principles to us through ways in which we can understand, not with theological words and amazing speech, but simple ways. We all know that a branch that is away from the tree or the trunk or the vine or the whatever it is, Lord, does not survive very long. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to abide in you. Remind us daily of your love that you have for us. Remind us daily of the call to obedience and faithfulness. Remind us daily, Lord, to cherish your words above all other things. And remind us daily, Lord, to love one another. Help us to abide in you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. As